Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 545, I'm welcoming to the show Kathleen Watkins.
It's more of a Christian perspective on how we should monitor our reactions to the story than it is like telling you how you should react to the story. We want to provide people with just enough information to be informed and then remind them of the gospel and the fruits of the Spirit. Our vision is to see people who can be informed on the news and still propagate the fruits of the Spirit.
Kathleen is a mom of three young kids. She's also the managing editor over at The Pour Over, which is a news outlet known for delivering the world's biggest headlines with clarity and Christian perspective. She and I are going to unpack all of the emotional weight of being exposed to 24/7 news cycles, especially when social media kind of pulls us in with emotions and the algorithms are always like, why are you not talking about this? And how, as moms, we want to stay informed, but we also care deeply about our own peace and we can feel overwhelmed and fearful. And so how do we balance all of that? She's going to share with us some ideas on discernment and monitoring our time consuming the news. And I really do think this resource, The Pour Over, is a great way to stay informed and still be grounded in what's true and showing those fruit of the Spirit. There's also a great option for kids called Decaf, which you'll hear about in this episode. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Kathleen, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled because I love pointing people to great resources, and you're going to help us out because I am the type of person that I know I should. I'm going to should on myself. I know I should stay informed with what's going on in the world. Like, and given my background of over-inundated news environment, I kind of shy away from it. But and I when I try to stay informed, I feel really either anxious or overwhelmed, or it feels like I don't know what it can like take up a lot of space in my head that I know is not healthy. And I don't think I'm alone. So,
Definitely
and you're
not.
A mom. Tell everybody about your family before we get into all this.
Yeah, I am a mom. I have a 4.5-year-old little boy, a 3-year-old little girl, and a 4-month-old little boy. So, it's very peaceful at my house, as you can imagine. Everybody gets lots of rest, and my house is constantly clean.
Is this
Don't
three
look in
lies?
The background of my video.
Instead of two truths and a lie, it's like three lies.
Everything's just a lie.
yeah, that is so. As you were listing the ages, us moms with older kids start having a little bit of
flashbacks.
I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, grace abounds for you. So yeah, as moms, you know exactly the stage you're in, the stage I'm in. It doesn't really matter. We are juggling so much, that alone. And then you also are working outside the home, in the home, outside the home for The Pour Over. And then we have our church commitments, our friend commitments.
I'd like to work out. I'm supposed to feed my family. The dog has an ear infection because if it's not my kids, it's the dog. Yeah.
The dog's not allowed.
Just a few plates in the air.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you agree, like, or do you have an answer on why sometimes these current events feel especially heavy for us women and moms?
Yeah, I feel like we live in this age where we're inundated, that's a great word, with information. And I think about, back before there was like TV and even radio, I don't know, maybe somebody from town would come run to your house and say like, listen to what happened, but they're not sitting at your breakfast table telling you about everything that's happened across the world, but that's the world we live at. Like I could be sitting down, giving my kids breakfast or food and pick up my phone and see 12 stories about what's going on around the world. I don't know if we were meant to carry that much and constantly, right? Mm-hmm. So I think as moms, we already have a lot, like we've already established, and then we take on what we consume more than I think we're supposed to carry. And it just feels really heavy.
Yeah. And do you think there's certain stories that tend to weigh people down more than others?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question because, of course, like in pockets, you know, if a story is about something that happened in Michigan, people in Michigan might feel, you know, more charged towards it. But for, you know, specifically with social media, I've noticed this very interesting tendency of stories getting emotionally charged. So our method, the pour overs method, is we're going to summarize the day's biggest headlines. So if you were to go to CNN, Fox, AP, anything like that, and see a headline across all those sites, we want to be able to inform our readers on what that story is. And so we want, you know, I always liken it to a water cooler, quite literally, never worked anywhere with a water cooler, but
it's a great analogy. You know, right?
Yeah. So if you go to the water cooler and somebody's like, oh, did you hear about this story? We want people to say, yes, I heard about it. I know both sides of it and I'm good. Like, I'm chill. But with the way social media works, a very niche story can, you know, let's say an influencer, I don't know, is Googling about ways to make her family healthy. And she sees this one study that says, oh, you should give your family pumpkin seeds every day and they'll be healthy. And there she goes to TikTok and she's like, why is the news not talking about this groundbreaking study? And especially when it comes to our kids, moms then are like, why isn't the news talking about this? Like, why? And they'll email the pour over, why aren't you picking up the story? And of course, pumpkin seeds is insert story here. But by the time mainstream media picks it up and they say, okay, experts say this, you know, other people say this, they kind of do what journalists do and gather information. And then the pour over is able to say like, okay, we'll summarize it all for our readers. Well, by then people on social media have already formed opinions and they feel emotionally charged and they're angry because you didn't talk about it for 10 days. And so by the time we actually post our story, people are like, you missed this part. Why'd you take so long? Why aren't you more fired up about this? So it's interesting the way social media just like appeals to your emotions, and especially the tagline of like, why is nobody talking about this, is such an emotionally charged tagline, because then it makes you feel like, oh, people are hiding something from me. And so anyway, that's the biggest thing I've noticed with social media, is just this idea of like, I need to find my own information because people aren't going to tell me the truth. And by the time they do, I'm going to be a little bit closed-minded because I've already formed my opinion. And so it's this like cycle of winding yourself up, honestly, and then feeling too emotionally charged about a topic.
Yeah. And I hear in your description just kind of like what fast food's done, all of the, I want it now, I want it my way, I want it right away. I remember we heard like a helicopter of our house, and I wasn't waiting to till the news told me what was going on. I went straight to Twitter. I was right. Like, or whatever it's called now.
Exactly.
But I was like, I will get more information right away from Twitter than I will by the time it's vetted through the local news. I mean, which was what we want good news. We want well thought out stories. And yet, because information comes so quickly, we settle for more emotionally charged, less
first reaction,
accurate information. And I think all of that, it can, like, I'm feeling my heart rate go up.
I know.
But like you mentioned, the pour over is trying to provide information without that overwhelm. And you guys have this great tagline, stay informed while focusing on eternity. So we're also, as believers, the pour over is for us because we do have like a higher view of all that's going on. And we have that anchor for our soul, that hope of a full redemption. And so we don't get swayed by circumstances. But tell me, what does that mean within the pour over company, your tagline, stay informed while focusing on eternity?
Yeah. We're a news company. Obviously, we summarize the news, but we actually want people to be less involved in the news. We summarize things Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We have a Saturday email that's more of like a deep dive, but it's a shallow dive. It's not that deep. We just explain one topic. So each email is going to be like less than 7 minutes. And we feel like monitoring how much time you're spending being informed is a good practice. And then after our biggest story, so we'll have like 8 stories per newsletter. And after the 3 biggest ones, we have a Christian perspective where we say, it's not going to say, oh, this story is about XYZ, and as Christians, you have to feel like this about the story. It's going to say, this story is about whatever it is. And no matter how you feel about it, the Bible says, our eternity is secure. The Bible says we have to love everyone, even if they disagree with you on this story. It's more of a Christian perspective on how we should monitor our reactions to the story than it is like telling you how you should react to the story. We want to provide people with just enough information to be informed and then remind them of the gospel and the fruits of the Spirit. Our vision is to see people who can be informed on the news and still propagate the fruits of the Spirit.
This episode is brought to you by Branch Basics. So today we're talking about finding our peace and not being overwhelmed by things going on in the world. I also think we can become overwhelmed when we hear all the things about cleaning products and what chemicals are in our products. And moms, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't even know where to begin. And that's why I love introducing you to Branch Basics, because they make it so easy to keep your cleaning supplies clean, and they're great products. They work really, really well. And I just love the simplicity of how Branch Basics sends me everything I need in their starter kits, all of the spray bottles for the different things. But then on the side of the spray bottles, it says how much of their concentrate you add and how much water. So simple. So I can create an all-purpose spray. I can create a spray for that's streak-free for windows and mirrors. I can create a spray for the bathroom. And then they also have other great products. Like I've been using a lot lately, the Oxygen Boost powder that you add to laundry, because y'all know I have four boys. Stinky Stinkersons. So if you're ready for a reset, head over to branchbasics.com, shop the premium starter kit, and save 15% off with the code DMA at branchbasics.com. That's 15% off new Branch Basics premium starter kit, branchbasics.com with promo kit DMA. Start fresh this season with products that are safe, simple, and actually work. So let's imagine you and I, okay, our morning's already. You had preschool drop-off. Yeah. You have a baby. I know all that's involved in this. I think I know. You know, there's always the finding the shoes and all of that. And, you know, right. I had to convince a teenager to go to school even though he wasn't feeling 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you've missed school, sure. Enough school already.
My son changed shoes 2 times to wear his fast shoes.
Oh, fast shoes. Yes. Got to get the fast shoes on. Mm-hmm. And these are mom's real mornings. It's like – what are some tips on, you know, engaging with the news? Like, so that's what the pour over is doing for us. But like, how do we, you kind of mentioned limiting it, but what would be some practical ways to engage, but not let it kind of shape your mood or your outlook for the day? I know like when I get something really tragic on my phone, it does, it shifts how I feel and how I respond to people.
Yeah. I think, I mean, without plugging the pour over too hard, but it is a great tool. But I think so for moms, we have a tendency to be on social media and to see stuff like you just said, and we're like, oh my gosh, I saw this story, and then it sits with us. You know, even thinking about nighttime feedings, for example, you know, that's the stage I'm now out of, but
congrats. I was very recently in it.
Thank you. Yes. The third baby is the tricky one because he's the one who makes you want to have more, right? He's so good.
He's nope, very good. Not my case.
Not yours. Well, maybe my husband won't listen to this because if he heard me say that, he'd be a little freaked out. But anyway, very recently I was in that stage and, you know, you're sitting there feeding your baby and you're scrolling on your phone and you see a story and we're just already so like hormonally and emotionally vulnerable and we see this sad story and it just sits with us. So I think just being aware of that tendency as moms that we have to kind of carry things more deeply emotionally, being aware of that is a tool, and then kind of being aware of how you're treating the news. So are you looking on your phone for entertainment? Because as soon as we're looking to news for entertainment, I think we kind of have to take a second look at that. Are you looking to be informed? And if so, what do you want to do with that? Do you want to be informed just because you want to know what's going on and kind of be more aware of the world around you? I think that that's okay. But what are you going to do with that information? Are you being informed so that you can talk to other people about it? I don't know. Are there other things you can talk about? You know, are you being informed just to fill the time? Are there other things you can fill your time with? You know, kind of what's driving that need for being informed? And once you kind of can answer that question, then I think you need to set up some boundaries around it. So if you want to be informed, just because you feel like this desire to know what's going on in the world around you, I think just doing that with discernment and prayerfully, that is how to kind of balance the information you're going to get. And then just being very aware of, is this impacting my mood? Okay, I've gone too far. You know, as soon as I'm watching a video and I feel it like just weighing heavily on me, I need to turn off the video. Like, that's okay. You know, we had this post about the debate last fall, and it was like, it's okay to turn off the debate. Like, if you feel your spirit getting unsettled, if you feel your peace starting to waver, like, it's okay to turn these things off and to not know how this viral story ends on Facebook. Like, you can guard your peace. You should guard your peace more fervently than you should see how a viral story ends.
Yeah. When it makes sense, it affects us. What makes me nervous is when I become so numb to these massive tragedies that are super far away. You know, there's some earthquake in another country, or the recent news about Christians who are being persecuted and killed. And the numbers, it's like, we just become numb. 40,000. What's 40,000 people? What's 2,000 people? Like, that's when I get kind of concerned with my own soul of, wow, that's not affecting me anymore. Like, there's a little bit of like, it probably I should feel a little bit of the grief of that loss. But I think as moms, not only does it matter for our own souls to monitor our peace, but we're also modeling for our kids. Like I said, growing up, I mean, news was on all the time. My dad was passing away and still watching the news. And that impacted me in that I never wanted – we never have the news on in our house, like where it's just on. You know, homes where you walk in and it's just on all the time. Because I just – it didn't give me peace. I knew it didn't. And so that modeling wasn't modeling that I implemented. Like, I didn't follow it. Yeah, I more swung the other way. So how can we help our kids, like, not only in those habits and those boundaries, but to kind of – when something big happens – I guess I'm asking you two questions. So I guess the modeling and then – the like, when something happens, let's say, you know, even the Charlie Kirk assassination, if you have older kids, they know, probably if you're younger kids, they don't. But like offering this gospel-centered lens instead of what can happen, which is fear, like especially earthquakes or floods, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think so it's interesting because even as you're talking, I'm thinking through how I would handle it with my kids, and then also like how I hope to handle it when they're older, or like advice from the back seat that I would give to somebody with older kids, you know. But I think just no matter their ages, quoting scripture to our kids is a valuable tool. So even, you know, if my son is concerned about, he always has nightmares about wolves. I don't know what it is about wolves. I don't know. He loves to see the wolves at the zoo, but it's always a wolf. So, you know, when he's like, I'm afraid of the wolf, I'm like, all right, there's no wolf, you know, but being able to quote scripture to him and say, hey, by the way, God says we don't have to have the spirit of fear. He's given us power and love. And you know, what's powerful is prayer. The Bible says that prayer is really powerful. So you want to say a prayer together and ask God to, you know, I will say once he said a prayer asking for God to not give him bad dreams, and he still had a bad dream, and he told me he thought God must have been sleeping already when we prayed. So, you know, working through that is something totally different. But anyway, quoting scripture to your kids, I think, is such a valuable tool no matter their age. But
so that means we have to know scripture.
Exactly. So we have to be in scripture. Yeah. We have to know, and not like, hey, the Bible says and quote it, but like practical applications of it. Right. And then as far as like modeling, there's, I mean, every mom's going to know what I'm talking about when I say this, but like your kid falls, they trip and they fall and they look at you for your reaction, right? And so if mom has a big reaction, if mom is scared, if mom is upset, then the kid's going to have a big reaction. But if mom's silly and they're like, oh, I can't believe what your feet just did, they came out right out from under you, then the kid's probably going to be okay, or have a much shorter like window of feeling sad. So kids do the same thing, whether it's falling or whether it's like a big news story. I think they look to you and they first are going to mirror like how you're reacting. So if you're upset, they're going to mirror that. But then it's going to eventually become muscle memory. So we think about falling again, the more kids fall and see that mom's okay, eventually kids going to fall and say like, I'm okay. I know what mom's reaction is going to be. So how do we apply that to the news? You know, if something sad happens and they see mom's upset about it, then eventually that's going to be the kid's first reaction too. But if mom's first reaction is to go to scripture or to pray or to talk about it or, you know, to still have hope, then eventually kids are going to, you know, have that muscle memory too. And then I think too, like, as kids get older, we have a resource called Decaf. Once a week, we take one of the biggest headlines, and our question is kind of like, what story might kids have heard about? So Charlie Kirk was a great example, and we rewrite the story at like a seventh grade reading level. The idea is that kids can read that story with their parents, and then there are reflection questions for parents to ask. So it's, what gospel lesson might my kids learn from this story? What might be misunderstood from this story? So kind of getting in that habit of, you know, as your kids get older and might hear about news events, preemptively thinking through like, what questions might they have? Because if they don't ask you the questions, they're still going to be hearing about it somewhere. So, you know, there, we will post sometimes talking to your kid about the Charlie Kirk shooting, talking to your kid about the autism Israel news that came. Yeah.
Autism. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Israel. And people will often say, how about just don't talk to your kids about it? And it's like, eventually they're going to hear about it, or, you know, you can't. I
mean, yeah. Especially them. middle school, exactly. High school. There are kids with phones. There are kids with older siblings. You can't.
Exactly.
There's no schools for firstborn kids. Yeah.
Exactly. If you're not talking about it in your home, that does not mean they're not going to school with people who are talking about it in their home. So even that doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to learn all this stuff and I'm going to sit my kids down. I'm going to say, hey, I don't know if you've heard about this. Let me tell you about it. And then we'll answer these questions. But it's thinking through, if and when they come to me, how can I answer their questions? So being prepared with that. And you mentioned like a flood, something like that, that could be scary to kids, or they might feel like, oh, what's going to happen if that happens to us? You know, I think that they're like, you can look at a news story and say, okay, are there any things, like practical things I can talk through with my kids? So in a flood, or even in like a shooting situation, like, here's a practical takeaway. Hey, we have a plan for if there's a flood. Let me share it with you so you don't feel fearful. Or, you know, hey, your school has a plan for if this were to happen. Let me share it with you. Or let's find some time to talk to your teacher about it. So something practical. And then prayer. I think always reminding your kids to pray about it. You know, we saw this flood and it does seem really scary. We should pray for the people involved and for the first responders. Would you like to do that together? And then prompting too. I think that you mentioned like being fearful that our hearts are getting callous. I think something that I need to get better at, and something I think we all could be better at, is just kind of asking like, God, are you prompting me to do something with this? Mm-hmm. I don't think the answer is always going to be yes. Sometimes I think you hear about a sad story, you hear about a sheer number of people being persecuted or dying, and it's like, that's really sad and I don't know what I can do about it. I'm going to pray about it, and if God shows me something, like, I will take action. But let's say there's a flood and it's like, I can donate to this, or, you know, people have lost their clothing and you tell your kids like, we can go find some clothing and donate it if you guys want. Like, some kind of prompting. Is there a way we can respond past prayer? I don't think the answer will always be yes, but if you feel it, act on it and involve your kids in it too.
This episode is brought to you thanks to our sponsor, Honey Love. Now, if you're like me, maybe you've been on the lookout for really great shapewear, and I always used to just go to the local department store, and I thought that was my best option. Well, then I discovered Honey Love, and I'm telling y'all, we have been robbed before. This Honey Love amazing superpower short is incredible because they have discovered targeted compression technology. What does that mean? It means that because they have this signature X, it kind of sculpts your midsection but doesn't squeeze out your natural curves. It works with your body instead of against it. So you have flexibility where you want it. You're not feeling like you're totally stuck in your shapewear, but you feel like it's holding you in where you want to be held in, to be a great layer under that fall dress for a wedding, or you're going on a date night, or maybe a girl's night out. You're going to feel great and you're not going to have to worry about your shapewear. I also love that with Honey Love, they put this flexible boning on the side seams so the shapewear stays up. You're not constantly having it roll down or have to adjust it or tug on all the layers. You just can enjoy yourself in your night out. And
I just think they have so many great things over at Honeylove. So I'm thrilled that I can help you treat yourself to the most comfortable shapewear on the earth and save 20% off site-wide if you go to honeylove.com/DMA. Use my exclusive link to get 20% off. Honeylove.com/DMA. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in shapewear with Honeylove. Two things that came to mind. One, when we see an actual accident, car accident happen, like that we're driving past, our default was always like to start praying over whoever was involved. And so I just was thinking, like, doing that, it's kind of like whenever you see the news, it's like an accident or that you're witnessing and you take it to God first, like, humbly. Like, I know that I am not God and I can't fix all the things. But then also thinking about Mr. Rogers, who always would say, like, look for the helpers and, like, how can you be part of that? Giving eyes, kids' eyes to see that and the confidence that they – what they can do to do, to not underestimate that in them. Okay, you mentioned this earlier and I wanted to hit on it, kind of that idea that I don't really trust the information coming to me. I mean, now I'm seeing like, I don't even trust that that video is real. There was some video of like a Palestinian prisoner who got released and was seeing his family who he thought were killed for the first time. And all the comments were like, this is AI, this is AI. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe it is AI. I can't even tell. And
I know.
So beyond just like what facts can I not trust anymore? I think for kids, it's like they don't even believe the the actual visible evidence anymore. And beyond the bias and just noise and all that jazz.
I know, it's hard.
How can we be like discerning consumers and not just become cynical like that? Well, it must not be true. You know, just throw our hands up.
Yeah. The AI videos, I don't have an answer for that.
I feel like it's like such new territory.
It is. And I see people, you know, a video and they're like, this is AI. Here's how you can tell. And I go back and I'm like, yeah, I still can't see it. I don't know. This might be real, you know? But I think just so practical ways, keeping an open mind. I think it's very easy to see a story anywhere, see a video, see anything and say, oh, this is the full story. And that's just really hardly ever the case. I think if with discernment, if we stay curious, so I'm reading a story and I think, okay, this story has me feeling a certain kind of way. I wonder if there's like a second side to it. So giving yourself a little bit of space, as long as your like peace is not disrupted, to be curious and, you know, I see this story about a video. Let me just Google it. Okay, here's somebody else talking about the video. Didn't think about that perspective. Not sure I agree, but okay, it's good to know what the two sides are. And, you know, I mean, I think about, let's say I read a story that the sky is falling and I'm like, why is nobody talking about this? The sky is falling. And I Google it and it's like experts, 50% of experts say the sky is falling. It's like, okay, only 50% say the sky is falling. I Google it again. It's like, the sky could be falling. And it's like, all right, okay. So I don't need to take this at surface value. Like maybe I should research this, but I'm starting to feel a little bit anxious about it. I'm starting to see that there's some, you know, discrepancies in different stories. I think I'm just going to wait for the full story to come out, wait for there to be some consensus and pray that God would keep me safe on the day that the sky is falling, you know? So I think choosing to have a little bit of discernment on how far you go, but staying curious while you consume to be informed is the best way we can balance that.
And to recognize, I mean, this is an actual fact that your feed will look different than someone else's feed because it's giving you similar opinions to what you already.
Right.
So you may literally only be seeing one side of the story.
Yeah.
So to kind of go outside of social media and do some digging is a really good tool. Like I said, like you said, I didn't say it.
We both said it.
when I think it's great to think, is this news story causing me to feel a way? Then I need to stop, take that captive, do the little bit of digging to get more perspective on it, and then move on instead of letting it consume my mind and my heart.
Right.
And like, what about the whole like other extreme of needing to know it all? Like, mm-hmm. I know friends that they will then keep going on rabbit trails and need to know every little aspect of a topic.
Yeah. I sometimes fall into that category okay. when I'm writing like an article for mm-hmm. our deep dive, the shallow dive. We did one on Nobel Prizes, and there's so much information. It's fascinating. I was just like, and there's this, and do you know how much a Nobel Prize weighs? I'm asking ChatGPT. I was like, what else weighs 175 grams? A hamster wearing a cape. This is great information. It's like, yeah, I didn't need to know that. Did not need to take the time to know that. So for those people, I would just say, you know, if you're aiming to give yourself some boundaries, set like a time limit. Like you have, all right, I'm going to give myself 20 minutes to learn about this topic. I'm going to give myself 20 minutes to see, you know, hit the high points. And for us, like when we're writing a story, that looks like, okay, I'm going to look at some very left-leaning sources, very right-leaning sources, and some in the middle, and I'm going to see what all of them have in common. If they can all say the sky is falling, I probably need to assume that the sky is falling. And then that's like something that I can, you know, have a little bit of more confidence in because everybody's saying it. I think when we get into trouble is when we go down the rabbit holes of like, okay, is there anybody saying this one thing? And then you're like searching for information that might fit an idea that you have in your head. And that's when we need to do a little gut check and be like, all right, why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I want to be right? Am I doing this because I have a theory that I need to prove? You know, why am I doing this? Why am I taking away from something else that could be edifying? What am I trying to satisfy? And a lot of times the answer is going to be like, I'm trying to satisfy this need to be right. I'm trying to satisfy a curiosity that doesn't have any purpose. And at that point, I, you know, like I said earlier, you can just close the book. Like you can do not finish it. It's fine.
I think I hear you saying over and over again, we need to stop and ask ourselves why. Like being really curious about our own consumption so that we don't fall into just blindly following all of it and
right.
getting overwhelmed that way, being stewards of our own news consumption and staying informed. Because I do think like it's not that moms want to have their head in the sand and right. only care about how many times did my kid poop today and like go to the mm-hmm. dinner party and literally have no clue of the top five current events happening. It's I think we do have the heavy mental load and we do. I know for me, I want peace. Like I want my kids to yeah. stop fighting. I don't want chaos. And so I don't know.
Adding one more thing to your plate of like, yeah. okay, and how do I fit in? It's hard to know where to start and to know like, okay, I do want to be able to go somewhere and feel like I'm not out of touch, but like, do I go to TikTok? Do I go to Instagram? Do I Google top news stories? Which, by the way, even if you Google top news stories, it's still going to be curated for you and what you typically Google. So just kind of knowing where to start feels like that feels like a task in and of itself. So yeah, I hear you. If you're like somebody who is just kind of feeling the prompting to get informed, again, there are other news summary sources out there, but I would say start with one. You know, like the pour over, you know, somebody who's going to show you, here are the top stories and we're going to show it to you concisely. There are always links if you want to learn more, but I think just finding a place to start to ease into it is often the hardest part, right? Because that's a task.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up, speaking of peace, and you're consuming a lot of news because you have to for your job. What gives you hope when you're looking at all the things that are happening in the world today? Because everyone's like, it's a, what do they say, dumpster fire out there. It's so bad. Everything's so bad. We're living in horrible times. And I think of Rome every time people say that. My listeners know, I'm like, if Jesus could live at the time of Rome and Paul when they're burning Christians literally as lights in the streets.
Right.
I think the U.S. we're okay, but – I mean, the world in general, I know there are a lot of tragedies. Anyway, what gives you hope?
It's interesting. We often hear people say like, the United States has never been as divided as it is right now. And it's like, we literally had a civil war.
literally had brothers fighting brothers.
Right. Okay, what gives me hope? You said earlier the Mr. Rogers quote of like, look for the helpers. That consistently is something that is a good way for us to balance out like a hard story if we look for those stories, because they're always there. But I would say the biggest thing that gives me hope is just our readers and hearing their stories of how shifting their consumption of the news, or shifting not necessarily the amount of consumption, but how they consume it, consuming it with a Christian perspective first. Sometimes like our readers will tell us, I read the Christian perspectives first and then I read the story so that I can keep my heart in check as I'm reading the story. Hearing how that has changed and how that has impacted households and families and just people's peace. We'll hear people, you know, say, for so long I just ignored the news and now I feel like I can keep my peace and still like have an anchor whenever I'm being informed. That gives me a lot of hope that, you know, people are figuring out a way to balance things. And then past that, I think just this idea of turning to God in the face of hard things. This is a very tangible way that we're seeing people do that, right? Even after Charlie Kirk's assassination, we had some of the fastest growth we've ever seen just from people wanting something to fill that. Like, I want to know what's going on, but I don't want to do it without God. And seeing how that hunger is kind of snowballing like among our audience, that has been really encouraging. This idea that I think there are a lot of people out there that want to be able to speak to people at their workplace, at the water cooler, whatever it is, and still have this air of peace. Like, that's going to plant seeds. If I'm anywhere and somebody's talking about like, oh, the government shut down, can you believe people are doing this? If I, as a Christian, am able to say like, yeah, I read the story and I saw this, and I just got to think like, man, I need to pray for those people who are day in and day out voting no on on legislation. I think I just really need to pray for them, because that's going to soften my heart. And, you know, that's probably not going to change somebody's mind that day, but we've heard too many stories of people saying, you know, after telling somebody this is my reaction over and over, they finally came to church with me, or they finally, you know, I could tell a noticeable shift in them. So I don't know, that gives me hope that people have that hunger to react differently and to plant the seeds to people around them and hopefully just bring more people to Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah. Yeah. And the freedom we have as a country to disagree.
Yeah.
I want to keep that, like,
right.
I'm thankful you can have all the different views and everybody can have their own. And we, I do think you're right. Like, there's been an interest that maybe we had lost, just kind of blasé about where we live, how we live, how everything's run. Okay. So we've heard about the pour over and you mentioned the thing that's the seventh grade reading level, but I missed what it was called.
Decaf.
Decaf, like decaf coffee for the kids.
Yeah, okay. For the kids.
For the kids. Where do people find this? We'll put links in the show notes to make sure they get connected.
Yeah, if you go to thepourover.org, you can sign up. So I do want to say it's free. It'll always be free. The Pour Over is free. You don't have to worry about that. But you can sign up for the newsletter. It's called a subscription. So people are always like, how much is a subscription? It's free. So if you don't like it, we will give you the money back. That's my dad's joke. If you go to our website, you can sign up for free. You can also sign up for decaf there. We do have podcast versions of the newsletters. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on YouTube. You can listen to somebody reading the news to you. And then we also have a couple of new publications. So on Sunday, if you want to have a prayer to kind of pray through one of the bigger headlines from the week, it's called Praying the News. And you can get signed up for that through our newsletters. And we also have News Health, which is just from our founder, Jason, some ideas on how to, you know, shift your how you're consuming the news. So all of that can be found at our website. And then we're on Instagram too, at The Pour Over News.
Amazing. Thank you for all you're doing in the midst of mothering your precious three little ones. Well, after your maternity leave and all of that, that's a lot. So all of us moms salute you and thank you. And y'all make sure you go check that out, thepourover.org. And I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much, Heather. This was so much fun.
Definitely go check out the show notes to get the links to Pour Over. I think it's a great option. Especially love the decaf approach to letting your kids start to consume the news without all of the misinformation that's out there, to have great conversations. I am going to pray over us. And this morning I was reading Psalm 43, and I thought I would kind of integrate some of what I'd read there as we pray. So, Lord, the world is loud. It always has been. And chaos is not your way. You are a God of order. You are a God who brings peace and restoration. And we know that you are bringing your kingdom here. And I pray that you would not let us get so distracted that we miss our chance to partner with you in bringing light into dark places. And Lord, I pray the Psalm 43, Lord, I pray that you would be, I know you are God, my only safe haven. Send out your light, God, and your truth, and let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. I will praise you with my heart because, God, you are the source of all my joy. So why am I discouraged? And why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in you, God. I will praise you again, my Savior and my God. You defend us. You rescue us. You shine a light in dark places. And Lord, I pray whoever is listening that is overwhelmed and discouraged and just feeling like they're hopeless, God, I pray that you would be their living hope right now, that they would turn to you with all of those concerns and all of those worries and find you to be a secure place to land. I thank you for the mission and the assignments you've given us as moms in this stage to guide the next generation. I pray that you give us wisdom in that and also to whatever places you've put us in jobs and in neighborhoods and cities that we would stay connected to you, that we wouldn't live in fear and let fear be the driver, but that love would be the thing that drives us to care for those around us and to just really truly bring you, God, to those places. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm looking at my, I don't know why I never do this before I start getting recording my outro, but this is the real real. Next week, I have the amazing Cody Kimmel. And maybe you don't know Cody, but you for sure know his dad. Dr. Kimmel created Grace-Based Parenting, and now Cody works there, and he and I are going to be talking about that and a really new exciting project they have that's come out for your kids. So join me here next week. Thanks, y'all, for sharing the show always with your friends on social media. It means a lot. You have helped us just continue after all these years, just continue to reach moms who need to know that they're not alone. So thank you for your part in that, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.